DLH, and welcome to the DLH Insights podcast, where we provide you with greater insight of the goings on across the business. My name is Porter. My pronouns are she, her, and I am the corporate social responsibility specialist here at DLH. Here with me today is Irina Naranjo. She is a senior clinical project manager in our PHSR operations center. Irina, welcome. Thank you so much for your time with us today on our podcast episode. We are so happy to have you with us. I would love if you could start by introducing yourself a little bit and tell us all a little about yourself.
Sure. Thanks, Porter. Happy to be here today. I have been with Legacy SSS for quite some time. So it's been, I think, 16 years now since I've been with SSS, and then it was acquired by DLH, and I've been through that transition period with the company, and have really enjoyed all of my time here working on various projects. I used to work with the AIDS Clinical Trials Group for many years and met lots of good people there who I consider friends and coworkers. And now I'm working on the CLEARS project, and again, working with just a tremendous group of people, which I think is a common theme throughout DLH. And I'm really happy that I'm able to be here.
That's awesome. I'm so glad to hear that you're happy and finding lots of good colleagues here at DLH. I certainly feel the same way. So thank you for so much of your time spent on all of these amazing projects, giving back to the community and to our clients. I also hear, so Rina, you are a part of our Working Parents Community Network. So I hear that you are a working parent. Can you tell me more about that?
Yes, I am. Yes. So I have a stepdaughter who's 16 years old, and you can imagine she's very, very independent. And I also had a baby 3 years ago who is completely dependent on me. I transitioned from working full-time before she was born to taking an extended maternity leave for 6 months. And then when I came back, transitioned to part-time work. And this was a really difficult decision. I enjoyed my work, but as I discussed this, new incoming person to our family, as I was discussing all of this with my husband and other family members, it just became apparent that that was the right choice for me to go part-time. So luckily, I was able to be paired up with a project that required part-time work. And it just really worked out nicely. My line manager at the time was extremely supportive of my decision and helped me to find the right fit for my part-time status within the company. And it's been working well. There are lots of challenges to being a working parent and also to just being a part-time employee. There are specific challenges there as well. But in the end, it was the right decision. And almost 3 years later, I'm still in that same role as a part-time.
Yeah, that's a lot to juggle. Just having a full-time job without a child is a lot to balance all of your other responsibilities, family, your personal time. But then adding a child into that mix is a huge reallocation of your time budget. So I certainly see how going part-time would kind of go towards this idea. I hear this often of like, oh, moms can have it all, or parents can have it all, like going to work full-time or being a full-time parent. It's not always realistic. Having all of those things all at once. So making that balance be tailored to your family specific needs, I think is incredibly important so that you can have that dedicated time with your daughter, with your husband, your other family members, and then also do the great, amazing project work that you like to do at DLH or at another workplace. So I could totally understand juggling the time, how that might be a constant reinvention of your time budget, because as your daughter grows, as you grow in your position, just seems to me that you would have to revisit that time budget every now and again.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's quite frequent that I have to revisit that time budget. Probably weekly at this point. You know, it's when my baby was very young, 6 months old, I went back to work. And so it was very interesting just trying to manage my personal needs, her needs as an infant, and then my work responsibilities.
Yeah.
Coming back at that time, my work responsibilities were new. So this was also a learning curve for me at work to understand the project and the project needs and to come up to speed with my skills and abilities on that particular project.
Yeah.
Plus, I had a 6-month-old infant. Plus, I was nursing. Plus, I had, you know, a family to take care of outside of my infant.
Yeah.
And, oh, by the way, I need to take care of myself also. So, so there's that juggling has not stopped, and I don't really anticipate it to stop for quite some time.
Yeah.
It's just all about choices, and the choices that I make every day are based on what is required for sometimes just that day.
Right. Yeah. You can't look super far ahead because things are going to change. Yeah.
Exactly. So as far as, you know, as much as I try to plan in advance, having a child has taught me that you really have to be present in the moment and look at what the needs are in the moment, just as much as you are trying to plan in advance for, you know, saving for school, or, you know, saving for a private, are we going to private school? Are we going to public school? Or if we're going to go to private school, we have to save money and blah, blah, blah. So you're planning for the future, but you're really in the moment of this day and what this day requires. And so that really, really requires a daily dose of juggling.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So while you were sharing that, I had two questions come up. So my first question, and I will give a caveat, I'm not a parent yet. I would love to be. So this is all anecdotal from my perspective. So I'm looking for you to share as a parent. But I'm curious, everything that you've just shared, would that be possible if you were required to come into the office physically? Like, what has working remotely done to either benefit or hinder your ability to kind of balance all these juggling things all at once?
It's been a game changer. It's been a tremendous benefit to be able to work from home.
Yeah.
I really don't think that I would have been able to make the same choices had I been required to come into the office physically. And so I'm very, very lucky in that regard. My husband also works from home.
Oh, okay.
And so we have that added benefit. He's usually locked up in the office all day on calls, but if there is a need for some sort of interaction with him or a question, or I need to do this, and can you please watch the baby for a second? That option is there.
Yeah.
And so it's been a tremendous, tremendous benefit to be able to work from home.
Yeah, I would imagine. I think there would be so much joy in being able to have your child kind of walk in every now and then, but also you have the freedom to kind of either turn your camera off or walk away for a second so that you can tend to their needs as well as your own. So it's just an interesting balance with this whole remote workplace world that we live in now.
Exactly. I used to have, you know, kitchen conversations with my coworkers, and, now I have hugs from my little baby, you know, when
That's
I take
wonderful.
Breaks.
That's such a warm feeling.
It is.
I love that. And my second question that I had thought of was, you're sharing that you're going through these decisions on sometimes daily, if not hourly basis, just depending on the needs of yourself, of your child. And I'm wondering, how those decisions, how that process of accounting for your day makes you feel. How does that make you feel as a mom, as a colleague? What kind of impact does that kind of scheduling have on you? And how has that shaped you as you've kind of navigated this part-time working parent role?
Excellent question. It adds a lot of pressure to the day. It adds a lot of additional mental energy to ensure that everybody is okay.
Yeah.
And that everybody includes my coworkers and my project.
Yeah.
So it really does take a lot of emotional, mental, and physical energy to be in the role that I'm in as a working parent. You know, I also really think about all of the additional responsibilities that I have as a working parent related to household responsibilities. I've heard study after study where results are showing that mothers, the women in the household, are still primarily the ones who are responsible for child rearing and household responsibilities, right?
Yeah.
That is a common thread that is prevailing in the United States and in our culture right now.
Yeah.
And I feel that very much. This is probably the most difficult part of my life, but also the most rewarding part of my life.
Yeah.
And so when I'm thinking about being a working parent, I'm really thinking about the lens of being a working mother and all of the additional responsibilities outside of actual motherhood being an employee that role brings.
Yeah. That's a very unique, it's almost like a tax. Like it's a tax on some of these unseen roles and responsibilities that you feel you're akin to.
Yes. Yes, it does feel that way sometimes. And it is overwhelming at times. Other times it's extremely rewarding.
Yeah.
And that is, I think, the roller coaster of parenthood.
Yeah. Welcome, new parents who are listening. Welcome to the roller coaster. Yeah, that's fascinating. I mean, just as we're talking about these sometimes hourly decisions that you're making in the day, that's only pertaining to like one aspect of your life, like let alone all the other roles and responsibilities that you take up, that can certainly be taxing. And I'm absolutely imagining how overwhelming that could feel. Do you have any like tools or tips and tricks for yourself that you use to either ground yourself or have some self-care opportunities? Are there any ideas that you've come across that have really worked well for you?
The main thing that has worked well for me personally is just to be aware of how I'm thinking about things.
Mm. Oh, your mindset.
Mm-hmm. My mindset. Be kind to myself, talk kindly to myself, you know, give grace to myself. If, for example, the dishes are not done at the end of the night, okay, fine.
Yeah.
I'll do them in the morning. Everything will be okay.
Right.
If
right.
There's a pile of laundry that is not folded, fine. Just go through the clean laundry and get what you need and go on with the day. I've learned to adjust expectations for myself to allow for the things that are most important, which is time with the family, time with the baby, making sure that she's developing in a healthy way, making sure she's healthy, making sure physically healthy, making sure that my husband is taken care of. He has some health needs as well. So making sure that that's taken care of. That has really just been a continual battle for me. You know, there I do have mom guilt where I feel guilty for not doing this or that. And if I'm working, I'm thinking of my baby. If I'm thinking of my, if I'm taking care of the baby, I'm thinking about what I could be doing for my work. That is another mindset that I have to make sure that it doesn't take root.
Right.
And so I try to really be careful about what I'm thinking, how I'm thinking, and give myself grace for all of these different roles that I have and ways to juggle them that don't require perfection, which is what my aspiration was prior to parenthood.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was quite easy to obtain prior to parenthood.
Sure.
Yeah.
And surprise. Right.
And then surprise, now everything is this juggling act. And sometimes, you know, some balls fall on the floor, and that's okay.
Yeah. I want to take a moment just to say thank you to you personally for honoring all of these different dimensions and complexities of yourself, of your family dynamic as a mom. I want to say thank you so much, because putting in the time to give yourself grace, to practice those mindsets, that's work also. Like that, especially in the culture that we live in, who often, you know, perpetuates the mom guilt rather than the mom grace. That's certainly work to train yourself, to train how you respond with your baby and how she sees you treating yourself as she continues to grow up. I just want to say thank you for the time and the energy that you invest in yourself and putting your best foot forward for yourself, and maybe dropping a rubber ball here, dropping a glass ball here, but knowing that your priorities are certainly being taken care of. And one of those is absolutely yourself. So thank you, Rena, for the amount of time that you put into trying to balance all these things that are just juggling all over the place. We are almost out of time, but I have one more question for you. So I'm kind of curious from a workplace perspective. So you just shared all of this work that you do to take care of yourself. Is there something that you would share with either a friend, a coworker, where, hey, if you know a working parent, if you know your colleague has kids at home, this is something that you could do? Is there something that you would wish for? So is there maybe like a question that coworkers could ask you, or a practice that they could display? What would that look like if you were to be receiving help from a colleague or a friend?
Yeah, that's another excellent question. I have been thinking a little bit about that. And I think, you know, the main thing that I think we can do as coworkers is to express an interest in another person's life outside of work.
Mm-hmm.
Ask how they're doing. Ask how the family is doing. If they have children, find out what their names are. And don't just say, oh, how are your children doing? Say, how is so-and-so doing?
Yeah.
Get to know the person in a meaningful way.
Yeah.
And I'm also a line manager within the company, and I sometimes struggle to do the same thing for, you know, myself with my staff members. But that's what I would recommend. I would recommend trying to ask meaningful questions and getting to know the person, and not just focusing totally on work. You know, how's the project going? Great, that's fine. You need to do that. But start off every conversation and end every conversation with something that is very meaningful for the person. And if they are a working parent, I can guarantee that the work is not the number one most meaningful thing to that person.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. So building those intentional and trying to practice being genuine and respectful of actually getting to know who you're working with. It's so, like, going back to how we're in these remote workplaces, sometimes you can feel like you're an island only focusing on your work projects, staring at a screen all day, but it makes such a difference. Yeah, I don't even have kids, but when people ask me, how are you doing? How is your family? Like, it makes a huge difference for me too. So I can only imagine what it would feel to your well-being during a day where you get to have a moment lighting up about your kids. So I think that's really wonderful advice. And I certainly encourage everyone who's listening to practice that, whether your colleagues have kids or not, whether they're working parents or not. Just ask, like, find out if they're working parents. You might not know. They could have four kids. You know, you have no idea. So if you don't ask. So I think that's a really great piece of advice to just build those relationships with our coworkers across DLH and just get to learn more and honor people and all of the work that they're doing inside and out of the office, which is exactly what matters at the end of the day. So, Rena, thank you so much.
I have one more question
please.
We can ask one another, which is, what can I do to help you?
Yes, very powerful.
Yes.
Very and powerful.
Let that person come up with some solutions.
Yeah.
And see how you can help them to implement that solution.
Yeah. I'm wondering now. So I'm definitely going to add the link to the Working Parents Community Network when we publish this episode. But I think, Rena, what I'm going to do is also add that question. What can I do to help? And just see where that takes us. How can you start that conversation, have that collaborative moment? You're not only going to learn more about your coworker, but you're also going to be able to build a stronger team. So for instance, like if I were to ask you, what can I do to help? Maybe you were balancing doctor's appointments for your daughter. Like, how can I help you manage that? Maybe later down the road during our project, we have a similar time constraint and now we've already practiced it. Like, now we can add this to our workday too. So that's a really great question to ask. And I'm certainly going to try and practice that more myself. I think, Rena, I appreciate that one. So thank you very much for your time, Rena. I am so appreciative, like I said before, of the work that you do for yourself, for your family, for DLH. It really shows. And I am so appreciative that you took the time to share some of that experience with the rest of us at DLH. We, of course, for all of our listeners, we love getting your submissions for topics for future episodes. So feel welcome to reach out to myself directly or any of the DEIB council members if you would like to submit a topic. We will be publishing this episode and a couple more soon. So thank you very much. Until then, I hope you find insight into your own life, both in and out of the office. And if you see Rena, please feel welcome to connect with her. Rena, thank you so very much for your time. And I'm wishing you a wonderful end of the year season with yourself and your family.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure, Porter. Thank you so much.
So, thank you, everyone.